How do I know if whether or not my prayers are being truly heard by Almighty God. We're going to answer those questions. We're also going to ask questions like, how long should I be praying? That's going to be dealing with, is it okay for me to pray 2 minutes, 2 hours, 20 minutes? How long should I be praying? Also going to be dealing with, how long should I be praying for a matter? Should I be praying for the same thing for 20 years? How long, amen, should I be praying? Most importantly, do prayer truly work? Do it work? You know, that goes back to, is there power? Do it work? Am I just doing something, or is this thing working? Amen. Amen. And doing all of that, we're going to discover, are there different types of prayer? Mm-hmm. The types meaning categories. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on this broadcast. Amen. But before I dive into all of that, let me put this thing in park here. Ask you, how is your mental? My mental is pretty good today. Normally, I love to say 10, and I feel really good. But I've been having some things going on this week after week after week after week after week. And I tell you, that old enemy tried to diminish and dampen my spirit on yesterday after carrying our delegate that came down, came up from Austin, Texas, and not only flattened my tire, but split it in such a way I couldn't get a repair. A tire that I could have been driving on for a whole nother year. Had to get another one, so I ended up having to buy two new pairs of tires today. And so that was a little, I don't know if I want to use the word depressing, but it wasn't a feel-good moment. Why am I sharing that? Because we have moments where we do things that we have to do, but we know that we wanted to do other things. What made me feel good about the whole matter is that at least I had the finances to do it. Although those finances was being allocated in another direction prior to, at least they was there to take care of that situation. Didn't want to do it now at all. So I'm a little disheartened or a little saddened because of that. But thankful to God that at least my car is not down because I didn't have the funds to repair to replace the tires at all. That would have hindered even more. And so I'm so thankful that God opened the door for me. Amen. And getting what I needed so that my mobility would not be hindered from making the money that I need to make, providing for my home. So I'm thankful for it. Yet the struggle came, and I know sometimes y'all say, Pastor Bonnet, Brother Bonnet, man, you just tell what you're going through. I want you to know that no matter how good you are, how righteous you are, how much you plan to do this, sometimes misfortune happens to the favorite. Amen. And the Bible said, in all things give thanks. And that's a hard thing, to give thanks. And so I must demonstrate that to you. Amen. And so that's why I don't mind sharing it with you, because you need to see that, hey, Christians do go through some stuff, but they are able to go through it with their hands lifted up in praise, knowing that God is still their provider. God is still their way out. He's still their keeper. And these tools are so important to have and to know. And so I don't mind sharing it. Now, naturally, I want to tell all the good things. That's the natural part of me. All of us want to say how well we're doing and how everything going well. And we're oftentimes, most of us anyway, don't want to share the sad part, because we don't want people to look down on us. We don't want to act like we have some type of pity party going on. And so me being a very private person, oftentimes that's something that is hard to share. But in the spirit of transparency, I share it in hope that it will build your faith while you're going through the things that you may be going through. Amen. Because all of us, at some point of time in our life, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through these things that's going to test our faith. And some, amen, but God, amen, he's there to supply every need. He's there to give us comfort in times of sadness. He's there to give us guidance on what to do next, because sometimes things happen in such a way that the truth of the matter is we don't know what to do next. And so these are the moments we must learn how to pray. These are the times when we must understand the power of prayer behind that. You know, oftentimes when a lot of people are praying, we focus on what we're trying to inform God of, as if maybe he don't know. Or we're trying to convince God to do something that we want done. And sometimes we pray in that vein, and that sense of vanity, as if we have some type of authority to tell God, like he's a djinn or something, God, go do this, God, go do that. And when those things don't happen that way, we begin to search for other answers as to why it didn't happen. And we begin to look inwardly and think it's some type of sin, or we begin to think it's a limited of our faith, and we're challenged so many different ways that way. And so that's why I don't mind sharing, because I want you to see, as I go through, how God allows me to come out. Amen. And how, when you go through, how you would be able to come out as well. And so hopefully my testimonies are helping some of you that will grab hold of it by faith and know that since God has no respect of person, what God respects is faith. And so if you keep your faith in God to help you, to guide you, if you lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, then he will direct your path. Amen. And so I'm going to stop talking now. Let me make sure I got the mics open for those of you that might would like to make a comment. Good evening. God bless you. How's your mental? Again, I'm 2 thumbs up. I say I'm a 9.5. Amen.
Amen. I'm a 9.5. I'm a little tired, starting to hurt a little bit, but other than that, I'm praising God and I'm thankful.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm 2 thumbs up. I'm definitely a 10. And the reason being, our one listener that listens all the time, Maggie Balfour, I was able to give her a call because our ministry was able to finally track down a Bible that she's been looking for, and we're able to get ready to send it to her. So that's all we got to do is ship it to her. We got it finally here at the ministry. And
Amen.
Speaking of prayer, hopefully one of the, when you're talking about the different types, one of the types that I engage in a few times, like you'll find in Genesis chapter 24, as well as with Gideon, is what they call fleece praying. And, you know, to find out God's will in something, whether yes or no. And I found it pretty interesting and very helpful to me. So when you get into that, I'll be able to give you some of my experiences with that. So
Amen.
I'm doing great tonight.
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm quite sure we're going to come around to that. We got all month long. The subject of prayer is so big, you know, it's kind of easy to excuse me for the lack of terminology, to dumb it down to saying, put your hands together and just begin to ask God for what you desire, or ask God to guide you. That is probably complicit way of making that statement, but it is so much more. And so we're going to take our time and we're going to go through it step by step, and I outlined about 10 different things there. I think subject-wise, the base, They would highlight basically four different types of prayer, although they're more than types, because when you get to naming this prayer, this prayer, this prayer, this prayer, your number's going to increase. But there is a acronym for it, and it's going to be in my teaching tonight as we walk through that. So I want to take us to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Amen. And hopefully I'm not sipping my coffee too loud tonight, but the temperature has dropped here some in Memphis due to the rain that we've had. But, and I am reading from the King James Version tonight.
Excuse me, Pastor Bonnie, can you, before you get started, can you mute my mic?
Gotcha.
Thank you.
All right. That way we don't have to worry about, sad. There we go. Amen. All right. Once again, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Samuel. Now, and we're going to be there in Samuel chapter 1, and we'll get to it in just a moment. So the very first question that I pose is, what is prayer? What is prayer? That's a reasonable question, regardless to what type of religion. All religion believe in a system called prayer. A system called prayer. And it don't matter whether you Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Eastern star and moon, it don't matter. Even in Satanism, prayer is something that all religion use as a form of communication. So, but as believers, that's the way we will begin to direct our prayer. In my book, called New Beginning, Starting All Over Again, A Chance to Live Again. I mean, excuse me. It's dealing with one of my chapters deals with prayer, and when you're praying to anything other than the true and living God, it is as if one have written a letter without the proper address. Usually what happen is whatever contents in that letter really just returns back to the sender because it has no true destination. So if you wanted to write me a letter, it's not good enough for you to know that I'm in Memphis, because there's a Memphis in a whole nother continent. So you must know what state that I'm in, and not just where I'm in Memphis, but what city I'm in. I mean, what street I'm on. You must know my housing number. You must know my zip code. There's information that you must have in order for me to receive any requests or any information you may desire to act or give towards me. Same is with prayer. So I can't pray to the cosmos because the cosmos don't have ears to hear. I can't pray to the universe because the universe have not conscious to respond. I can't pray to deity because there be none, although we may name any, for there only one true and living God with the intelligence to answer and respond, to hear, to answer and respond to whatever requests we may have of him. Unfortunately, women, the description does not say her. And so Mother Earth cannot answer me neither, et cetera. So with that being said, let me jump into it. What is prayer? Prayer is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God, who is our object of worship. Okay? For others, it'll be their object of worship. Okay? But for us, it is whom we worship. In Genesis, Adam, the first man, was able to commune with God or walk with God and talk to Almighty God in a sense, face to face. So he was able to have fellowship with God Almighty. That was before his fall or before he sinned. After his sin, the righteous God of the universe, the righteous God of creation, whom judges sin, would have to condemn all those that stand before him unrighteously. So the fall of man happened. So after his fall from fellowship with God Almighty, because of his disobedience, the need for atonement became necessary. So prayer is a communication with God. I used the word a moment ago, atonement. Atonement is used in scripture as to atone is the suffering to suffer the penalty for sin. So if you atone for something, what is the penalty for violating a principle or something that you've done? So it is more of a reaction or a cause to what you have done. So in other words, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he came and atoned for the sins of the believer. We get into that further down the line. But today, trying to stay on the surface level, taking it step by step, because I will assume, I will take no assumptions, rather, that anybody understand my terminology or have a knowledge of what it means to pray. So we're going to take it step by step. So therefore, removing the effects of sin from the repenter or sinners and allowing him or her to reconcile with God. So the need for atonement was something that paid the penalty, allowing the sinner to be reconciled. That means reunited or brought back together with God. And that was done through Jesus Christ, him alone. I know we have many prophets of old that have taught us the laws of God, but it was Christ who paid the full penalty. The dove says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And so Christ's blood was righteous in that it, his blood, knew no sin. But he received the sins of humanity for our account. So Jesus Christ was the only one capable of carrying out atonement for all mankind. We do this by praising him, confessing our sins before him, thanking him, and asking him for the needs and desires. Asking him for our needs and our desire, we call prayer. So prayer is communication with our Creator and Savior. So when we pray, we engage in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. The Creator is the one that made all that is. So we are communicating to him because our sins are offense to him. So where the earth, where the Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and excuse me, all they that dwell therein, that means we belong to God by way of design. But as believers, we have the spirit of adoption because we receive his atonement that he sent on our behalf, that we may have fellowship with him once again. By having fellowship with him, it means that we have the right to talk to him. Now, we understand that because we may have had people in our past that have done us wrong, and what we did was we cut off ties with them or fellowship with them. We departed from them. In other words, we no longer communicate with them. Amen. Because of whatever deed that they done to us, for that reason and that reason alone, we cut them off. And maybe many deeds, it may be one deed, But nevertheless, the results were the same. We stopped fellowshipping with them, conversing with them, and so that tide was broke. Because of Christ, we all have the right not just to request for repentance, but other things as well. So Christ made it possible for us to fellowship with God. That means not only are we talking to him, but he will talk to us. That's a good thing. So, from a kingdom mind standpoint, the word prayer is also petition. I must remind us, especially us here in the West, or those that may be in a democracy. The Bible itself is not a book of democracy. It is a book that is kingdom. So it's up under that monarchy. The Bible is about a king, the king. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is the creator of all that is. And so it is not something for us to vote on. It is for us to hear what he has said and what he has declared and to do our best to follow suit or follow through with his commandments. Now, whether you do or not, that's another matter. Whether you understand or not, that's another matter. The fact is, if God said it, that settles it. But we have a personal God, not an impersonal God. So what the Bible does, it allows us to understand the nature of God because he's communicating with us his feelings, his desires. And by that, we are able to develop relationship with him when we pray to him. Amen. So, again, from a kingdom mindset point of view, the word prayer is also the word petition. We're going to read about a petition tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to highlight verses 15 through 17. But because we have time here, let's read a few verses. Again, I will. So let's, those of you that have your Bible, and I'm going to start at verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, only because I have a hard time pronouncing his name out loud. And he had two wives for a man that's listening, that was then, this is now. I always have to say that. That was then, this is now. But this man had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So he has two wives. One of the reasons for in those times for men to have more than one wife was for the advancement of their families, the growth of their family, the growth of the land, the development of the land. Oftentimes in war, men were killed, so there was more women, far more women than men, so that women would not just die out or just be abused. They would marry other men that had already had a wife to build families, to develop communities, et cetera. Then that was then, this is now. And so these things were allowed even amongst common men, not just royalties, for the sake of building connections and families or for peace agreements between nations. So verse 3 says, and Hitman went up out of his city yearly to worship. In other words, their tabernacle or temple, the main place of worship for them, was not in his local city, not in his town. And as the scriptures say, he went up out of his city to worship. In other words, his dedication was for something he did with his family. Doesn't mean that he didn't have a local place, but it do mean that they had a primary place where they met the priest. So often it was taught of men to have fellowship with God Almighty in their home with their family. So it was the job of every husband to be the pastor of his home. So moving forward, corporate fellowship, they met in a particular place. And so he would do this to go and sacrifice. Sacrifice also in that day and time was a time for atonement. So in other words, in asking God to forgive them for their sin. So during this time, he would do this yearly to make that yearly sacrifice. One of the things that was commissioned by Moses, goes up under the Mosaic law, what they were supposed to do. So in following through his understanding of what the scriptures had appointed him to do as head of his house, he would do this and bring his family. So he didn't send, men, hear this, he didn't send his family to church. He took his family to church. There's a difference. And so, once again, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice. So he didn't go to church empty-handed. Amen. Unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, we're not going to deal with Hophni and Phinehas as we closing out on harvest. These are the two men who was abusing the harvest. They was abusing the harvest, and who was in charge of the labor was their father, Eli, and Eli did not correct them. And because Eli did not correct them, the judgment of his house, God had already planned to judge him and his house. And so because God was getting ready to remove them, he utilized a circumstance that could not have been known aforetime. But because we read the Bible out now about what happened then, they say hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, we're able to see how God utilized even bad situations for his good. But it still came from someone who suffered and had to pray or petition him. So, continue from here. So verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portion. But Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. In other words, if whatever he gave to Penina, he divided it up between her and her children. And because Hannah didn't have no children, he just gave her the whole portion. So the worthy portion. So in other words, he gave all of them the ability to give in this offering or in this sacrifice, okay? So, but the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the all-sufficient one, had shut up her womb. A lot of times things that happen, we think and we assume that the devil did it. But in this case, they're not even recognizing the devil to have any authority. They're assuming that God had done this thing for a reason. Ergo, the bad blood between Penina and Hannah. So I'm going to continue. Verse 6. Verse 5 tells us the Lord has shut up her womb. So that means this is something God is using. God is using a trying time. For a woman, it was more than just embarrassing to have a husband and not to be able to produce to him children, to produce for him children. And at this time, we could not blame the man because he had had another wife and she was producing. So the blame was simply on Hannah. So the burden of that was even harder than that, you know, because the other woman having children after children. So it was adding more shame to her. And year in, year out, she's making these sacrifices of atonement. And so mentally she's thinking, well, maybe God is not accepting my atonement. Okay? And a lot of times when things that are bad or negative happen to us, we can fall into depression and disparity because we're not receiving or we're not seeing any results of our petition, our offering. And so when those times happen, it puts us in a certain mindset. Are y'all following me? Amen. So verse 6 says, and her adversary also provoked her adversary. The Bible tells us, know that our adversary, the devil. But here in this text, her adversary is not the devil. Her adversary is the other woman. The other person in her house. Whole. Amen. Her adversary also provoked. That means she antagonized her, put her down, you know, made her feel very less than a woman, less than a productive person. Things that was key in this day and time that was most important. So provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, has shut up her womb. In other words, the woman that was might have been saying to her, God don't love you. You a sinner. You are this. You are that. So she was coming at her. And sometimes in life, believe it or not, fellow Christians can make us feel like we are sinners. And in your heart, you're going, man, Lord, I ain't did nothing wrong. And you searching, trying to figure out what you did, and you're confused, and you don't really know, and you try to keep the faith, you try to keep up, but it's still not working, and someone close to you that should be helping you or encouraging you is condemning you. And so you're wondering, my God, is my prayer being heard? And you do all kinds of stuff. You start giving out of necessity. You don't give just from the goodness of your heart. You even change the why you're giving. Now you're giving as if you're trying to buy God's love. Now, we should give out of our love from our heart and our relationship with God. But you can't buy God's love, nor can you buy his favor. But when you are provoked a certain way and pushed in a certain way, it makes you feel like you got to do something else so God can hear you. State that this woman is putting. So let me continue. So she went, verse 7, and as he, verse 7 again, and as he did so yearly by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, so she provoked her. So this ain't something that happened just around. Now, every time you go into church, somebody there to upset your spirit. You're going to a house of worship, a house of praise, where you're supposed to be magnifying God. And here's somebody else tearing you down. And because of their level of prosperity, you believe they have God's ear and favor. And it can make you feel very bad. When she went up into the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eat thou not? Why are you not eating? And why is your heart heavy? Why your heart heavy and grieved? He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? He said, I can't do nothing about you not being able to reproduce a child or to conceive a child. He said, but haven't I given you everything you needed? Haven't I given you extra? Haven't I given you my attention? Haven't I been there for you? As if your sons would have been mindful of you. He said, I've been better to you than 10 sons. So in other words, I didn't neglect you. I haven't neglected my obligations as a husband. The Bible says so, verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And she was bitterness of soul. In other words, she was just vexed. She was depressed, heavily depressed. And so, and prayed. So now she's praying out of desperation. She's praying not out of quote unquote faith, but now her faith, her prayer is one of desperation, pleading that God will hear her. And in her plea, she is thinking, how can I truly get God's attention? How can I truly reach God? And so now her prayer is one of the most earnest desire to reach the presence of God. So being an individual with limited resources, the only thing that she can think of is, according to the law, the first child, the first son, is automatically given to the Lord, but must be bought back so that he remains in the family. So she goes beyond that thought of what the law states. And as verse 11 tells us, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, of hosts, if, conditional, you will indeed look upon my affliction. Now, she's not blaming God. She's not fussing at God. She's pleading with God to take in consideration her condition of thy handmaid. So she didn't remove herself out of the covering of God. So this is the best way to describe humility before God. Everything I have belonged to you. So she says, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. She's specific in her prayer. She's not praying some wish list. She's very particular in the prayer. Give thy maidservant a man-child. That's a male child. Not just a child, but a male. Then I will give him to you. That's to the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Not for the, according to the law, but all the days of his life. In other words, I'm not going to tell him as my son, I'm going to give him to be yours all the days of his life. And there shall no razor. And in raising him, we're going to raise him in a Nazarite faith. And there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying. So she just didn't say a few words. She continued to reach out in prayer to the Lord. So in her prayer, in her desperation of prayer, whether she recycled the words she was using, whether she began to acknowledge all that he shall do for the Lord, that is not mentioned. But what we do know is the state she was in was continual, and her prayer was continual before the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that Eli marked her mouth. In other words, he saw her desperation. So she's not praying out loud, in a sense, to get everybody's attention that's there. But a prayer of desperation, so it's coming from her heart. So now Hannah, she spake in her heart. That's how we know, because the Bible tells us. Only her lips moved. That's how we know. But her voice was not heard before Eli. So people may see your lips. You're at the table. You're praying. You're blessing your food. They ain't got to hear you. So you don't have to pray out loud to get God's attention. You can, but usually people that does that sometimes only doing that to get the attention of others so that others may say, ooh, they praying. Ooh, they spiritual. But she wasn't caring about what nobody else. She wanted to make sure God heard her. So her lips was moving, but her heart was speaking. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunk. In other words, her broken state looked as if she was someone that may have been under the influence. And although it can be stated, she was under the influence of a woman who was desperate, but not one under the influence of alcohol. And Eli said unto her, how long thou be drunken? In other words, how long are you going to do this? So this could mean this wasn't the only time he observed her in prayer. Or it could mean that she was at the altar so long, he's still trying to figure out what she's doing. Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered, this is where I take my next three scriptures. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, lowercase L-O-R-D. She received the man of God as a minister, as a servant of God, as the priest. She said, no, my Lord. No, my leader. I am a woman of a sorrowful. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul. This is the power for the prayer. This prayer was from one soul. I have poured out my soul before the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. She said, count not thy handmaid. Don't consider me as a daughter of Belial. Belial was somebody worthless that deals with another demonic spirit. She said, I'm not worthless. I'm not good for nothing. I'm not unprofitable. I'm not wicked. Amen. So don't count me as a daughter of Belial. I ain't Satan's child. I'm not dishonoring the house of God, coming in the house of God drunk under the influence of someone else other than God. She said, but for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here unto. So her prayer addressed it her complaint, addressed it her grief. And so in her prayer, she made her request based on her condition. Nowhere in the scripture do we see her talking about Hannah, talking about Palala, who vexed her. She's simply talking about her state. She does not use, according to the scripture, she has not used in this time. We see not her talking about what the other person has versus what she has. Okay? And so Now, verse 17, the man of God, after hearing her statement, he says, then Eli answered and said unto her, go in peace. That's the blessing. That's why it's very important to have a pastor, a spiritual leader. It's very important because here's what he did. Go in peace. He released the blessing of God over her now. And the God of Israel grant thee thou petition. Now, she was praying, so ultimately her petition was the request, things asked for or even demanded, if you would, but it was the request that she had before the Lord. So petition, her request. So he said, go in peace. Don't go no more in turmoil. When we go to church and the pastor issues the benediction, that's why it's so important for people who do go to corporate worship, don't leave before the benediction. The benediction is a part of the covering that is released over your life. And you're so in a hurry to get to your to see your basketball game, football game, or television or whatever, that if it's not work mandated, to the benediction. He says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, she goes, the Bible says that her continent was no more sad. In other words, she's no longer unhopeful. She's no longer depressed because she received the word of God. She was fasting or not eating because of the depression. Verse 18 tells us she eats. She went her way. She ate. She changed the condition of her faith. She changed her attitude. She changed how she was presented to her husband. The Bible says that there early, say later on, her husband and her got together, and it came to pass that she received her request. And when she received it, she named the child Samuel. She communicated the prayer that she had with God to her husband, who agreed with the condition of the prayer. So the condition of the prayer was to give the son back to God. Well, their place of worship was the connection that they had to God. So once the child was weaned, in other words, no longer needing the breast milk and the nurturing of the mother or to continue to guide him in the infant stages and early adolescent stages of his life, he's now at a young age where he's released as a child, young child, as a servant in the house of God because she had to fulfill her request. Because it says she vowed a vow. In other words, she made a promise. Sometimes when we pray to God, we make promises. We say, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. And then that don't happen, then sometimes our mind wander back and say, well, did I do what I say? And a lot of times that answer is no. But her response was, if you do this, then I will do that. Sometimes we got to really pay attention to when the scripture says, God say, if you do this, I'll do that. But we're looking for God to do that, but we haven't done this. Part of the prayer is understanding the dialogue in which is being had. Amen? In other words, it's not just good enough for me to talk to God, but I must stop and listen to what he is saying to me. Well, brother preacher, how do I know that? Well, because there was Eli, the priest of the house of God, the man of God, even though God was preparing to judge him for not dealing with the disorder in the house of God, he still was the servant of God who God was using to speak to his people. So it wasn't my job, it wasn't her job to point fingers. God had placed him in position, and only God should be the one to remove him from position. Are y'all hearing me? And so the very priest that is going to be judged a couple decades later, within 2 decades from this beginning prayer, he is the one that releases a blessing, or pronounces a blessing from God over life. So it wasn't him that was abusing the people. It was his son. But it was him who failed to discipline them in their own actions. So, preachers, we cannot be afraid to chastise our children, or those under our failure to do so can lead up to removal of us in the position appointed to us by him. Him being the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital V. That's the Almighty God, the self-sufficient one. So we must pray. Have y'all followed me so far? Amen. So we see here there's that model of prayer. Okay? So he says to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked, request of him. So we see this biblical model of prayer. An acronym for the model of prayer is called ACTS, like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, admiration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. A, admiration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. And the biblical teaching of 4 typical prayer of blessing and adoration, that's the praising of God. We'll see that, the praising of God. Prayer of petition, that is the asking for what we need, including forgiveness. Okay? And so, remember I said to y'all a while back, grace is not a permission to continue to sin. It is the bridge that gives us to ask for forgiveness. So the prayer petition, asking for what we need, including forgiveness. So not only do we need food, but we need to ask for forgiveness too. Not only do we need direction, but we need forgiveness too for holding things or unforgiving that comes from us. The prayer of intercessory or intercession, that means the prayer of others, asking for what others need. You know, so it's not about you. This prayer is, Lord, I'm praying for my brother, my sister. You know, many of y'all that's followed the program, we often are praying for others on the line. Right now we're praying for the war in Israel, that peace will come, that God will bring clarity and understanding to what's going on. Amen. We're praying for, it's like the whole world, we're praying during these COVID times, especially when people were dying left and right. So we're praying for the needs of others, okay? And then that four is a prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer of thanksgiving for what God has given or what God has done. Amen. Now, these are the things that we're going to be covering through prayer once again. All month of November, it is my desire to share and to help us to understand what is prayer, who must pray, why must we pray, how should we pray, is there true power in prayer. We see from this text that there was power in prayer. To who or whom are we praying? We see that she was praying to whom, not who, not multiple people. She didn't come one year praying to somebody, another time praying to somebody else. Now, her prayer was to the God of Israel, to the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Amen. And how do I know if my prayers are answered or if my prayer has been heard? When the man of God spoke and released to her the blessing, even though he did not hear the prayer, he confirmed that God was going to answer her petition. And so she was giving confidence to her leader. Amen. And how long should she pray? She prayed until she got results. So however long it takes, she prayed. She pushed. She prayed until something happened. Push, pray, P, until you something S happen. H. She pushed. Sometimes you got to keep pushing through prayer. You may not want to pray, but you continue to pray. You know, sometimes prayer is a sacrifice. Amen. It's a challenge to pray. Okay. So, she knew that prayer worked because he did it for her. Okay, so we see that type of prayer of persistence, and it is a model that we can model behind, and with persistence in prayer. Notice her prayer lined up with Scripture, giving the firstborn back to God. That's why she asked for a son, because all the firstborn male was to be given to God. So she realized if God opened her womb to give her this child, he will release. I mean, her womb is open to receive another. In other words, she had to get things flowing. And so she knew prayer worked. And so her whole mentality changed. The Bible goes on to say that she had other children after all of this. So she did not withhold her vow. In other words, she didn't hold on to him. She didn't try to keep him to herself. But she released him because God blessed her with him. Something my mother do to Pastor Calhoun and myself, she always remind us that we belong to God. She gave us to God. The blessing was she was the reason why we knew who God was and know who God is. And she never, no matter what we do in life, and no matter how well we preach and speak, none of those things, she reminds us that it is our job to finish our assignment and to stay with the Lord because we were given to him. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm going to open up the mics. I'm done with my teaching on this evening. I think I opened everybody's mic, but Queen, if you have something you want to say, text me now. I'll open the mic up then. That is my lesson for this evening. Are there any questions, any takeaways, any comments? Again, we're going to be talking about prayer all month long, and we're going to get into it throughout the whole Bible. This is today we just started in the Old Testament. Amen.
I enjoyed the whole message, Pastor Bonnet, and it was very good. And I suggest everybody go on the Rewind and get a copy for theirself.
Amen. You mentioned earlier, before the next comment, you mentioned earlier about a particular type of prayer. And what was that again?
It's praying in a fleece. You could find example of that both with Gideon as well as Genesis chapter 24, where the Abraham servant, when he went to look for a wife for Isaac, he prayed a specific type of prayer, looking for a specific sign that would guide him to the woman he was supposed to take back to Isaac.
Amen. Yeah, that's fleecing the Lord. That's a prayer of guidance or clarity. Amen. I like that. I like that. There are many ways of praying unto the Lord, and every prayer should be one of purpose. The Bible say, they that come after God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder to them that would diligently seek him. In the conversational community, in your requesting God to do something, number one, it must line up according to his will. It must, in other words, must follow the guidelines that he has given. And we see those different illustrations throughout the Bible. And we're going to be exposing a lot of those as we're going forward. We'll experience the power of that prayer because we know the power of God. Looking forward to really sharing a lot of content concerning prayer as we journey in the month of November. I'm excited. I almost jumped on prayer a little bit earlier this month because just my heart was leading to it. And so I'm glad we're at this point because we're in a season where we need to be praying.
Amen.
We're in a season.
Amen. If you could, because we've been doing harvest, but can you, like, from now on, can you like do a recap of what scriptures you went over, each show here on out?
Yes, sir. On tonight, we primarily focus on 1 Samuel chapter 1. We went from verse 2 down to verse 17. Now, you can read all of chapter 1 to get the entirety of what I was sharing. The highlighted point was verse 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 1 in the book of 1 Samuel. Okay? There's a 2 Samuel. We're not talking about 2 Samuel. We're talking about 1 Samuel. These are the times before Israel had a king. Okay? And so this is when God was leading his people through his prophet. So we're in the time of judges. Amen. So we see that. And so through the man Samuel, we'll see where the first king, if you continue, those of you just doing extra study, you'll see where the first king of Israel was appointed. And you'll see God's appointment. You'll see the first request for the king and God answering their request, giving them the king that they wanted. But then we'll see later on God giving them the king that they needed and transition. But again, tonight we were dealing with the story of Hannah, which we find in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 2 on down. And we stopped reading at verse 17.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And once again, our whole subject of prayer, again, before I close, we're going to be dealing with what is prayer? Who must pray? Why must we pray? How should we pray? Is there true power in prayer? To who or whom are we praying to or should be praying to? How do I know if my prayers are heard? How long should I be praying? And do prayer truly work? And what are the different types of prayer? And that's why I asked Missionary Ken his question earlier, so that to kind of throw a shadow on the things to come, that there are different types of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So hopefully y'all got something good out of that, and hopefully you enjoyed that. Go back and listen to it again. I did my best to break it down as best I could, and hopefully you really begin to get more understanding so that your individual prayer will develop more. So in a sense, we are all born with a muscular system, and life teaches us how to develop those particular muscles, and based on what we're trying to accomplish in life, different muscles need to be developed a different way in order to achieve certain desires or goals. And if we're to be effective in the kingdom of God, then we must perfect prayer like Jesus did. Because believe it or not, although our teaching is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself prayed to God the Father. In other words, Jesus himself made sure he stayed in line with the will of God concerning his earthly existence. So he is our very purest of example of how to pray to God. What may be called the most famous prayer is where we hear the words, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass me by, but nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. In other words, I really don't want to go through this right now, Lord, and if it's possible that I don't have to, don't allow me to, but if it's your will for me to, then I will go through. So he has the model prayer of what it is to follow God, regardless to whatever's going on. So, and we know shortly after that, they falsely arrested him. They abused him, manipulated the system, turned around and ended up crucifying him, where he died and was buried in a borrowed tomb because he was going to give it back because he rose 3 days later with all power in his hand. That means under his authority. And so thankful to what Christ has done for us. He is our great example. Amen. Is there any other questions or any other concerns on tonight? I see the hand there. Any other questions?
I know. I just like bird calling in.
All right. How you doing, Sister Emily? Well, at your leisure, if you can.
I am trying to be good.
But that's good. We want you to be good. Amen. We want you. So God wants you to be good. Yeah, the word said, be perfect as your heavenly Father also is perfect. So God is watching you.
Actually, where I said I'm trying to be good, I've actually been being good because I haven't literally got physical with anybody in this past month, even
Amen.
Though people have pushed my buttons. I ain't went there. I just stayed in my apartment, stayed away from the people. This way, it don't get myself in no trouble.
Well, that's good to know, because I don't want you in no trouble. I hate for this there kid to call me and ask me for some bail money.
No, the problem is I wouldn't want an email switch, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I said one of those in a heartbeat.
And then I wouldn't want our boss man upset with me either.
That's right. You get in trouble, you're fired. So remember that.
No, I don't want to get in trouble with the boss, okay, big bro?
All right.
All right. Amen.
I value not getting my adopted big brother upset. So that's also another reason I've been really being good and staying in my apartment when I get angry. And as the word says, be angry and sin not. So even though I've been angry, I haven't sinned, and I haven't done a five-knuckle shuffle, as the young people say.
All right. Yeah, keep them knuckles to you. Keep them knuckles. For playing faith.
I've been having to sit and do a lot of praying here lately to keep myself in check so I don't get checked out.
Well, God sees your labor, and one thing the Bible is, whatsoever we write, the Bible says he'll take. So God knows how to take care of us. So those are good things to hear. Is there any prayer request before I end the program tonight? As y'all do know, on Mondays I have to go in there. And so I end the program a little bit earlier than normal. And so I'm thankful for yet another day, another opportunity to be in your presence. And never try to rush the Lord. And I always try to give what I can as the Lord gives me. So hopefully and prayerfully that what was shared tonight is received with glad heart, and hopefully you all are not only enjoying it, but hopefully you are sharing. Please share with others the content of this information, because it ain't about me, it's not about you, it's about doing the work in the kingdom. So it's about him. So ask God, how can you share, and who to share with? Because believe it or not, a lot of people think they're praying, but they're not praying right. And because they're not praying right, they're not getting right result. But just so long as if I keep trying to use a screwdriver as a hammer, I'm not going to ever pull out these nails, because that ain't what they're designed to do. So we have to know how to use the tools the right way. Prayer is the tool that God has given us, and we must learn how to use it the right way.
Amen. Well, just far as prayer goes, just continue pray for myself. Keep stress off of me, keep me, and recharge. Yeah, definitely. Just keep me in prayer, keep me recharged, and keep me away from stress. So that's my prayer, and as always, for my family, as well as your family and the world. Amen.
Well, can I pray that? Because stress going to hit us. We all going to have stressful situations. Can I pray more so that God will teach you how to rise above your stress? How to overcome your stress. I think that would be a more productive stress, because James said, count it all joy when you fall into devil's temptation. So that means James told us that we're going to have some situations that's going to try us. That means stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're to consider them. He said, count it all joy. So if I tell the Lord, don't let me have no stress, then how I'm going to count it joy if I don't have the stuff to overcome to know that God has strengthened me, empowered me, you know. So I got to have it to happen in order to experience the fruit or development of it. So I don't want to pray that it don't happen. I just want to pray that it don't take me out.
Okay, there you go. There you go, that part. There you go, right there.
That it don't take me out while it happens or when it happens. You know, I want to pray that God will give me strength to overcome it.
Amen.
He'll do it. He will do it. Well, once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It has been a pleasure to be in your presence through these radio or internet waves. God bless you and you and you. My prayer is that God will continue to strengthen you and your family as we work towards fulfilling the purpose that God has us here to develop his kingdom agenda on earth. God bless you. God keep you. May you have traveling mercy. May your rest be peaceful. And may you receive the rest that you need as you lay your head down to sleep, as you travel throughout tomorrow and days to come. May you have traveling grace and mercy as you go to and for. It's in Jesus' name that I pray and release these blessings to you. The peace of God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Once again, I love you all. Please be blessed. And until the next time, good night from Memphis.
Good night,
Dad.
So cute. Good night.
Good night.